Well, let's open our Bibles. Psalm 103. Now, for the next 6 months, I'm going to be a very different kind of person, which will make me a very different kind of pastor. I'm not going to show any forgiveness. I'm just going to be condemning all the time. I'm not going to show any kindness. I'm going to be really mean. I'm not going to show any compassion. I'm just going to be harsh. And I'm not going to show any gentleness. I'm going to be really heavy-handed. I'm not going to show any mercy. I'm going to be cruel. And I'm certainly not going to show any love. So a multitude of sins will not be covered, but everything's going to be revealed. I'm going to be intolerant, unloving, demanding of perfection. I'm not going to have any give. There can be no leniency. It's going to be all demands. I'm going to place really heavy burdens on you. I'm going to take revenge. You hurt me, you hurt my wife, you hurt my daughters, I'm coming for you. I'm going to insist I am always right. And that my way is the only right way to do things. I'm white, I'm right. My sermons are going to be all about the law. I'm going to issue demands and commands and rules and regulations. It's going to be no gospel, no good news, no grace. No grace, only law. Punishing every wrongdoing and every misdemeanor. Now, some of you are smiling, and I can't help smiling myself, because it's not going to be true. But imagine if it was. How miserable I would be, and how miserable you would be. Imagine if we were all like that. What a joyless church we would be. How gloomy our services would be. How scared and nervous we would be in our fellowship and in our service for the Lord. More. Imagine if there was just one person in our fellowship like that. Wouldn't that be awful? Imagine if there were five people in our fellowship like that. That would be difficult. Imagine if God was like that. Imagine how wretched and sad and unhappy we would be. We would serve him out of a spirit of slavery. There'd be no willingness to serve him. We would just do it out of constraint. There'd be no heart of love for him, just an outward obedience to his law, because we're afraid. Imagine if God had no love, no grace, no forgiveness, no kindness, no compassion. Do you know, I'm really happy to tell you this evening that God is not like that. Look at the nature of our God. God's nature is this in Psalm 103, verse 8. How wonderful that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Surely you've experienced that from God. His compassion, his grace, his tolerance, his forbearance, his amazing love. The woman caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus stood before her and said, "Woman, where are they who condemn you?" And she waited. He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." Forgiveness, grace. She didn't deserve it at all. Zacchaeus, the cheating, money-pinching, hated man up the tree. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Grace. What love. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And then look at verse 9, his nature. How amazing. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Imagine taking a grudge to the grave with you. Imagine dying and on your deathbed thinking, "I haven't forgiven that person. I've always sought revenge." It'd be terrible. The Lord will not always accuse. He will not harbor his anger forever. Wow, no grudges with God. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Simon Peter denied his Lord. He let his Lord down. He said, I don't know that man. And Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Simon. And then after his resurrection, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter that I'm alive. Verse 10, how extraordinary. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Well, we've received the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' blood, haven't we? We've sung about it a few times already this evening. In Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Tally up the amount of times you've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. He did not treat people as their sins deserve. The amount of times he didn't repay people according to their iniquities, even on the cross. Father, forgive them. To the paralyzed young man, your sins are forgiven. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich, so free? Aren't we glad that we have a God like that? So don't we say then in verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise his holy name. We say that because of the nature of our God. We adore him and we honor him and we worship him and we are thankful that we have a God like we have. And we who are so glad that our God is like this, well, we will seek to be like him, won't we? If we know that is true of God, of God's nature, then surely that would want to be like our nature. We would want to be like him. We'd want to be godlike, godly. That's a disciple's mentality, a disciple's outlook. Who is my model? Who do I look to follow? It's Jesus, the Son of God. How do we know what God is like? Well, God has revealed himself in Jesus. In one way, we can say that Jesus is God's selfie. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. If we want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. That cannot mean in the physical stature, because God is a spirit, he doesn't have a body. So when it says that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, it's got to be the nature and the character. There is nothing unchristlike about God, and there is nothing ungodlike about Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. That's mystery. But Jesus is God on the ground. He's the living, walking, talking, acting, speaking God. Looking at Jesus, we're looking at God. So in Jesus, God has revealed exactly what he is like. So if we want to be godlike, if we want to be godly, we've got to look at Jesus. For God has revealed his divine life to us in Jesus. God says to us, look at Jesus, and you will see what it looks like to live a divine life on earth. That this is the way life is to be lived. That we live in a fallen world because of Adam and Eve's sin. But that's not how life should be. If we really want to know how life should be, look at Jesus, his divine life. And life is to be lived that way. Not another way, but that way. The way of Jesus. I've revealed myself through my Son. This is who I am. This is what I am like. This is how I live if I am on earth, through Jesus. And life is to be lived that way. So there's no going back. God is not going to suddenly say, I've changed my mind, and I will send you someone else to show you a very different way how to live. No, God says, my way for you to live is seen in my Son. Look to him and learn how to live. And so Jesus then has called us to follow him. And he's called us to follow him for that very reason. Follow him means be like him. You know, many Christians just want to worship Jesus and sing nice songs about him. But Jesus has called us to follow him in the everyday world of relationships, of work, of family life and church life. How many times did Jesus say, "Worship me"? Zero. How many times did Jesus say to people, "Follow me"? I read the Gospels and count them up. Lots. You see, following Jesus is worshiping Jesus. So we want to be like Jesus, for that's the divine life revealed on earth. We want to live just as he lived. Come to Ephesians and chapter 4 and chapter 5. Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. Now these words, "just as," they occur quite a lot of times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, "just as." In Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5, you've got these words, "just as." So a father teaches his daughter to bake a cake and says, "Do it just as I've done it." A mother teaches her son to kick a football, I'm being politically correct, and says, "Kick the ball just as I kick it." So a person who knows how to do things and who does things in the right way can say to someone else, "Do it just as I'm doing it." So look at these words, "just as." Ephesians 4, verse 32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Why should I be kind and compassionate and forgive? Because God has done that in Christ. And how should I do it? How should I be kind? What's my model? How should I be compassionate? How do I know how? How do I know how to forgive? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And then look at chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example. Do you know, that's a really interesting few words put together. Follow God's example. How can you follow God's example? He's in heaven. Now he's come to earth in Jesus. So when the Apostle Paul says, follow God's example, he's saying Jesus is God. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How should I live? I should walk in the way of love, should follow God's example, which is the way of love, just as Christ loved me. Now, that's a struggle, isn't it? If you're listening tonight and trying to take this seriously, then you'll say, "Oh, boy, that is a struggle." And it is a struggle. It's the greatest struggle we have in life, to be like Jesus. We think we might have struggles in our work or in our relationships, in our family or at home or anywhere and everywhere. But I tell you, your greatest struggle in life is to be like Jesus. That's what spiritual warfare is all about, to be like Jesus. Because the devil is always trying to pull us down. The devil is always trying to shoot his arrows at us, not just to wound us, but to dismantle us. But spiritual warfare is about becoming like Jesus. Now, there are some churchgoers who don't seem to care about being like Jesus. Don't care about it. I come along to church and might be involved in a few things in church, but they don't really think about being like Jesus. Maybe because they haven't really received God's grace in the first place and they don't have any concept of forgiveness. Some churchgoers maybe base their lives, Christian life, on a law basis and not a grace basis. Some churchgoers just refuse to let the Spirit of God change them and sweeten their character. Maybe they don't actually see Jesus as a model. They sing about him so often as Savior, which is absolutely true and wonderful, but they don't think about him as example. Follow God's example. Now, our struggle then is to yield to the Spirit, to let him work in our lives, to let him turn our nature into godliness. So, the sinful nature wants to live one way, doesn't want to show compassion, wants to be about itself, doesn't want to be kind, wants to be mean and cruel and get that revenge, which is such a nice feeling. That's sinful nature. God's nature is totally different, revealed in Christ. A disciple's nature is, I want to be like Jesus. And the Savior has lived and died and then lived again that we might live his kind of life on earth. By his death, he took away our sins. By his resurrection, he's given us a new life. And in sending the Spirit, he makes it possible. So by the power of the Spirit and the grace given me, I will seek to continue to show forgiveness, not condemnation. I will seek to be kind and not mean. I will seek to show compassion and not harshness. I will seek to be gentle and not heavy-handed. I will seek to show mercy and not cruelty. I will seek to love so that a multitude of sins are actually still covered. And I will seek to be tolerant and bear with failure and imperfection. And I'll not take revenge. And I will not insist that I'm always right and that my way is the only way to do things, so there. And my sermons will seek to be full of gospel and good news and grace. I will seek to win this struggle so as to live for Jesus. And I ask you to do the same. Because even if just one person in our fellowship is like I described at the beginning, you know, it could ruin us. You put one poisonous jellyfish in a swimming pool, would you really want to go in there? No, this life that's lived out here, that Jesus lived, the divine life on earth, is it really possible? Well, we're going to sin because of our sinful nature, and we're going to fail because of our sinful nature, but we're going to forgive each other, aren't we? Because God forgives us. But also, if it were not possible, then why would God tell us to do it? Why would Jesus say, follow me? Why would Paul say, follow God's example? If it's like, this life cannot be lived until heaven, so give up until then why have you got the New Testament? It's there as the model and the example of life that we are to live. Now, we can't do that by ourselves. That's why we need one another to help us. And that's why we need the power of the Spirit of God. And you know, I've been rereading Acts of the Apostles recently, and I'm amazed how many times the name of the Holy Spirit is mentioned. The Spirit. And it's all about the Spirit moving. So Jesus has gone back to heaven. God, the Father, sent the Son to earth, and the Son has gone back to heaven. But the Son has sent the Spirit, and the Spirit now lives in us so that we can have the life of God in the soul of humanity. The Lord will not always accuse. He will not harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Therefore, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. And we can tell if we're serious about praising the name of the Lord by whether or not we're seeking to follow God's example. Well, let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, that we have a God like you, an amazing, pardoning God with grace so rich, so free, so true, grace that has been lavished upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace that's given to us every day. Thank you for this. Thank you that you have set before us a Savior to worship by following him. So help us, we pray, in our church life, in our daily life, our individual life, to follow God's example. Help us to follow Jesus. Just to sing about it, we love to do that, and we'll continue to sing the wonders and the praise of our God. But help us, Lord, to follow the example of Jesus in this compassion and kindness and love and tolerance and forbearance with each other. Help us not to be unbearable. Help us to be like our Savior. People just wanted to follow him and still do today in their millions. Help us to be one of those people. Lord, for this we need the power of the Spirit. Thank you that your Spirit lives in us. We underestimate this, but your Spirit lives in us to reproduce the life of Jesus in our lives. Help us in this, we ask, for our Savior's glory. Amen.